1 and reading from verses 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So we thank God for his word. Even as I read through that, maybe some of the verses were jumping out at you and thinking, yeah, that really speaks to me. And I hope that will become clear. I've been talking to one or two of you before the service, and some of us can look back over years of knowing and following Jesus, and some more recently. Myself, I became a Christian when I was in university. I've been raised in a church, but really only made a proper commitment to the Lord when I was in university, when frankly I could have gone either way. But one of the things that I like to stress, and that I think it's important to stress, is that when we think of God's work in our lives, we don't just think about what has happened, but we think about what he is doing. We don't just think about the past, we think about the present. And today, in that reading, I don't know whether you could tell, but that reading included one of my favourite ever verses, which is verse 6. I think that comes up on the next slide. Yeah, next one, sorry. That's the one. Verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So when we think about God's word, just to emphasize again, we should always think not just about the past. It's good to think about the past and to think about blessings we've had, but also to think about what God is doing now and what he wants to do further in our lives. If you talk to people on the street, then sometimes they may criticize us as Christians for, oh, it's all about getting a ticket to heaven. It's all about what happens afterwards. But when we experience eternal life, we experience it now. We look forward to it, but we also experience it now. And the Christian life is all about growth. We're familiar, aren't we, with a picture from the Bible of the mustard seed. It was the parable of the mustard seed as a picture of the work of God's kingdom. And one of the lessons in that is that although we can sometimes worry that our faith seems small, if we allow God to work in us, as we were saying, Jesus, you are changing me, you know, make me look like you. As we allow God to change us, God's work in us can grow and develop. So we're going to look at the importance of growth and development in God's work in our hearts, and hopefully to respond to that as well. You know, there are many things about our relationship with God that never changes, mostly about him. We sang faithful, right at the start, his faithfulness, his grace, his perseverance. But our relationship to God is not meant to be static. He wants to be working in our lives and helping us to grow at all times. So we're going to do that by just looking at those verses from the letter to the church at Philippi. And if you want to know more about the church at Philippi, you just go back to the book of Acts, you go to Acts 16, and you read a lot there about what happened in Philippi. But before we dive in, I just want to give some context, and that'll be the next slide. Great. So Philippi was quite a strategic place. There were many new Christians there, and the church was very varied. Okay, first of all, a strategic place. I don't know, have any of you been to that part of the world? No? Oh, John, did you go to Philippi?
Yeah.
What was there?
Not much.
No, nothing.
No.
There's virtually nothing left.
Ruins.
Ruins. Yeah. Yeah. There's just ruins now. It used to be this great commercial centre, a strategic centre that people passed through and did trade in. The church at Philippi is often described as a sort of bridge between Asia and Europe. Some people describe Philippi as the first church in Europe because it's often just about there. It used to be this very, very, very strategic place. And in this place that is nothing but ruins now, there was a big mix of people there. And there were many new Christians there, people whose hearts were open. If we go back to Acts 16, we learn the story of Lydia. Lydia, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira. By the way, I apologise if I say some of these titles wrong. It's because I'm not used to saying them in English. Named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. And then we read this about her. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So there are people there whose hearts have been opened. Their hearts have been opened to the word of God. And some time has passed between the time when the events happened in Acts 16 and when this letter was written. Some people think it may have been as much as 10 years. So they'd opened their hearts, and but time has passed, and maybe they're facing difficulties and they're facing persecution, as many of the early Christians did. And they're facing opposition, and they're wondering, what next? What has God got for us next? And the final point on that slide was that it was a very different church. It was a very diverse church. If we read the story of some of the people there mentioned in Acts 16, we read about Lydia, a businesswoman. We read about a slave. We read about the guard in the prison. All very, very different people. Some Jewish, some not. But there's a pattern of the nature of the church. The church isn't just a bunch of people who are the same anyway. The church should be varied, it should be diverse. And there's a specific purpose and an intent in this letter. And the first point for us to think about is that it's aimed at all saints. I don't know whether you noticed, there's a verse there saying that the letter was to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus and Philippi. So it wasn't just to the leaders, it wasn't just to whoever was leading the church, it was to all God's people, God's holy people in Christ Jesus and Philippi. And it was meant to encourage. It was meant to encourage and build. So my hope is that this message, as I try to convey a little of the points in the message, is that it will also encourage and build us up also. So if we turn to the verses in the letter, we see several things, and that's the next slide. So we see, I don't know, are you used to 3 points? I don't know, is Deb a 3 points person? I don't know. Sorry, I couldn't get them down to 3, about 4. Okay, so is it by 3, get 1 3 or something? Okay, first of all, I want us to notice that here we see thanks for and confidence in God's work. We see a focus on sharing the good news, and we see the continuation of God's work in the life of all pastors. And then finally, the bonus one is the nature of growth in the life of the Christian. So if we go on to the next slide, there's a verse there that I'm quoting, my favourite verse again. So the first point is that as we read this letter, we see thanks for and confidence in God's work. And I love reading this verse, so I'll read it again. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Of course, Paul's encouragement doesn't come in a vacuum, doesn't come from nowhere. It comes because they know and they've experienced the love of God in the past. Their lives have been touched, their lives have been changed. And he gives thanks for them. He says, I think, is this a, maybe not? Let's have a look. Try the next slide. No, it's not that, sorry. I've given myself a little code to say when the slide's changing and I messed it up. But he gives thanks for them and he says, I thank my God every time I remember him. When he talks about God as he who began a good work in you. God has done special things among them, bringing all these diverse people together. You know, Lydia, a businesswoman. There was a slave girl who was being used by other people to prophesy. And the guard, the prison guard also. And verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that's great news, but let's not just rush over it. Let's just think about that for a while. Because sometimes we read stories in the Bible and things that God says about all his followers, and we think that that applies to someone else. These verses apply to us. If God has started a good work in you, he will carry on with that good work until its completion. And of course, that life is up and down. You know, we have difficult times. It's not all easy. Our spiritual temperature may vary over time. But we need to remember that the Lord has done amazing things in our lives by bringing us here. Think of all that God has done in your life. The ways he's spoken to you. The ways he's touched you. The ways he's brought you to this point, today, here, this evening, in church. And we learn here that we can be confident no matter what our age is. No matter what our age is. That he wants to do more. He has more that he wants to do. One of the privileges of being a member in Casalen is that we have a big age range within the church. Unfortunately, one of our oldest members has just moved to Aberystwyth. I don't know, do anybody remember the Reverend Dennis Young? He was a minister Hebron, was it?
Yes.
Dennis was a member with us until comparatively recently. Dennis just celebrated his 100th birthday, by the way. Okay? Yeah. Now then, you may know Dennis, and as I say, Dennis was with us until sometime around COVID, they moved to Mid Wales to be with one of the doctors. And occasionally, one of our church members would visit. And a few months ago, one of our newest members, Ian, and his wife and his daughter, they visited Dennis and Arvonia down in Aberystwyth. And you know what it's like these days, unless you put a picture on Facebook, it hasn't happened, does it? You know? So Elian and Eleni love to put pictures on Facebook. So Elian posted this picture of Elian, who's a comparatively young Christian, sitting with Dennis. And he put up the title of it, said, The Teacher and the Apprentice. And Dennis heard this, and he said, No. Two apprentices in the room. So true. I saw him just after Easter on the way back from Llanw, and he hasn't been well, he's been in hospital, he fell, but he's in remarkable condition. But you see, Even at his age, he knew that he had more to learn. Even at his age, he knew that God wanted to teach him something else. We're all apprentices, and we all have more to learn. Moving on to the next point, focus on sharing the good news. The letter said, talked about defending and confirming the gospel or good news all of you share in God's grace for you. Just as it's correct to say that God's work in our lives hasn't finished, we must remember that God's work in the world hasn't finished. There are people he wants to call. There are people he wants to reach out to. You know, we're all familiar with the Great Commission, but going out there and telling people about Jesus and making disciples. And the whole focus of the letter is that the life and mission of Jesus is to reach out. And Paul tells us here about the importance of sharing. And I just wonder sometimes, I ask myself, I ask our church, and I'm asking you, how much of a focus do we have on telling others about the good news of Jesus? The familiar saying is what Bishop William Temple once said, the church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. You know, you belong to any society, you're all members of some society. I'm a member of the squash club. Occasionally come over to the legislature at Holyhead to be beaten soundly by somebody from Holyhead, normally half my age. But you know, within a squash club it's all about members, isn't it? Well, the church is different. Of course we support each other, of course we back each other, of course we look after each other. That's one of the things that Jesus calls us to do, but he also calls us to look out. It means sharing the good news of Jesus the Messiah. We have good news. We sang about it. And if you were like me when you were singing that first song about the faithful one, about the anchor, about the hope, about the love your heart was warmed, we need to tell other people about that. But you know, sometimes we get hung up about it. And we worry about it. And one of my favourite verses to help me understand that is in the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, verse 15, which says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And you listen to that and think, okay, that means I'm supposed to tell people all the time. So, no, listen to it again. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So the picture there is, God changes us. He changes our lives. And because he changes our lives, people around us notice something. They notice that maybe there's some strength, maybe there's some resilience, maybe there's some hope, maybe there's some love, maybe there's some patience that wasn't there before. What happens then is they notice something and they ask. And when they ask, we can be prepared to share. And that's very, very special because it's natural. Our focus is on what God does in us. And then we respond to people's questions by telling them about the hope that there is in Jesus. So if you move on to the, oh there we are, that's that William Temple quote, sorry. Move on to the third point. We touched on this already. The third point is about the continuation of God's work in the life of all Christians. Again, those words are wonderful words. Being confident of this, that who began good work in you, and I've underlined you there for a reason, will carry it on to completion. Now it's a lovely verse. It's very reassuring. But I just want to draw attention to the fact that I've underlined you there. Because do you remember who the letter was addressed to? It wasn't addressed to an individual. It was addressed to a church. It was addressed to you plural. All God's people. He who began a good work in you, whole church, will carry it on into completion. If we look at the New Testament and we see the story of the early church, we see several things. We see God working powerfully in the lives of individuals, but we also see the impact of the church. God's people living and growing and developing together. At the end of chapter 2 in the book of Acts, we read this about the early church. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Of course, individual lives do impact. Individual lives are often people's first insight into what the kingdom of God can do. But there is a clear effect of the people of God living and worshipping together, the life of the members together. A real example of God's people living differently, people noticing and questioning. We're not lone rangers. Every time I use that illustration, I do worry that half the congregation, like, who remembers the lone ranger on the television? Okay, there's an age thing going on here. Okay, lone ranger, white horse, and with Tonto. Yeah. It was a strange, because he wasn't alone, was he? He was always with Tonto, so he wasn't really alone. But the idea was that he'd ride into the town and he'd sort out the problems on his own, although he had this psychic. There we are. But as Christians, we're not lone rangers. We work together, we can help each other, we can support each other. And we have to live that out as a community, knowing, worshipping Jesus, following Jesus, and presenting him to others. So the fourth point, about the nature of growth in the life of a Christian. Maybe we're thinking, yeah, I understand that. You know, God's worked in my life in the past, and he wants to do more. But what does that mean? What does it look like? Well, I've suggested 3 points. It means love, it means knowledge, and it means conduct or lifestyle. What Paul is drawing our attention to here is that God has done great things in the lives of his people in the past, and he has more than he wants to do. He wants us to grow. The seed becomes a tree. The baby grows up. The baby initially has milk and then grows and wants more solid food. Not changing isn't on the agenda for the people of God. As I mentioned earlier, God remains the same, but he wants us to change. I was reading some time ago the book A Purpose to Do Life by Rick Warren, and there was a wonderful quote on the website about it, and I think maybe, yeah, there we are, it's on the screen. And Rick Warren said this: life wasn't meant to be lived standing still. The people of your church should always be moving, learning, and growing as people and as followers of Jesus. So he wants us to grow. He wants us to change. He wants us to learn. He wants us to develop. But as I say, what does that look like? Well, verses 9 to 11 answer that. And yeah, we'll go back to that. That's lovely. So the nature of growth in the life of the Christian, in your life, in my life, is that it shows love, it shows knowledge, and it shows conduct. If we look at those three things separately, Paul says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. That's Paul's prayer for all God's people at the church in Philippi. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. What should stand out about us as God's people more than anything else, as individuals and churches? Love. Without love, we know from 1 Corinthians, it's nothing. Our lives are nothing. A resounding gong or a clanging symbol. So love. And the second one was knowledge, and it's very important we don't get confused when we read this word. Because it says we need to develop more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Now, this isn't to say that we just need to be clever, that we need to know more stuff. What it means is that it's important, of course, to understand the Bible. It's important to learn the Bible. It's important to understand what it means. But the Greek word here is, and I don't do Greek, so I'm just quoting here, is epignosai. And what it means is a fuller and deeper knowledge of God. So it's not something in the head. It's about getting to know God better, and that influences then every part of our lives. And then, the third point, that then influences our conduct or lifestyle. Life, conduct, morality. The verse talks about being able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. That's the holiness. That's the sort of holy conduct or lifestyle that he calls us to. That we can live differently. Remember that song? Change me so that I am more like you. That's what it's all about. Allowing him to work in us. So God calls us to grow, deepen, and develop in our love, our understanding, and our conduct. Now, as you listen to those words, I'm just going to close with some questions. Do we want to live that way? Yes, we do. Are we desperate that this can be true of us as individuals and churches? See, that's the excitement and the responsibility of being a Christian. Is it exciting? Yes. Is it challenging? Oh, yes. Is it beyond what we can do in our own strength? It is. Is it beyond what God in his strength can do in us and through us? Oh no. We have a remarkable God. And in response, let's commit ourselves and see how God invites us to grow, deepen, and develop his work in our lives. And remember the excitement that can be. Because, and I think this is the next slide, yes. Because if we do that, then we can be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that we feel that truth of your word touching our hearts. And we recognize it as your word and your truth. And because we recognize it as your word and your truth, Father, we want to respond. And we want to respond honestly. And in doing so, Father, we confess that we sometimes are weak, we sometimes stumble. But we thank you that you reminded us tonight that you want us to grow, that you have more to do in us, that you haven't given up on us, that you have more to do in us and through us. Help us, Father, to be willing to do that. Help us to be willing to give ourselves to you, to dedicate our lives to you, in response to the glorious love and mercy that you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ.